Hey, go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Last week we saw part 1. And if you recall, there were attacks that were coming upon Nehemiah as they were rebuilding the wall. We saw that the enemies of God were laughing at them and mocking them and ridiculing them and say, you'll never have any victory. And what did Nehemiah do? He said, don't pay any attention to them. Let's just get on with the work and move forward. But now we saw that there was a second enemy, and God really gave Nehemiah wisdom on how to handle this second enemy. For you see, Satan knows that when he attacks from the outside, that many, many, many times he is not victorious. So what will he do? He will come inside and attack from the inside. And that's what took place here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10, where one of their spokesmen, and of all people, Judah, who was Judah to be praised and prophesied that he would put his foot on the neck of the enemy, he was the one that was talking discouragement to Nehemiah. Listen to what he said in verse 10. Then Judah said, the strength of the laborers are failing. There is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. In other words, we're spent. We're too tired. We can't do it. Well, Nehemiah expected that from Sanballat and Tobiah, but it must have really broken his heart when Judah, who was supposed to be a godly leader, turned out to be discouraging to Nehemiah and feeding into the people and discouraging them as well. What was his complaint? He said that there was a lot of rubbish that was around their feet and the weeds were growing up all around it. Last week, we looked at the rubbish that could be sneaking into the church, and I encourage you to go back and take a look at some of those things. We saw that the enemy had snuck in with paganism and superstitions and mythology and false philosophies, false doctrines, traditions, prejudice, and it just has littered the church history, and it's just so sad. Some of those same false doctrines recycle themselves constantly. We shared about that rubbish. We shared about how Paul and other reformers came in and cleaned house. And throughout history, there's been the people like Wesley and Moody and Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, and you know, even Franklin Graham, and many, many, many other people are spokesmen to clean out the rubbish that is in the body of Christ and to stand strong and to stand for the Lord so that the enemy would not be victorious in any way, shape, or form. Now, it's important to recognize that some churches in history have been built on bad foundation, bad doctrine. And we looked at quickly Psalms 127:1. It says, except the Lord builds a house, they who labor in vain that build on it. Why? Because the rubbish is there. And we see that it's important to get that rubbish out of there. And but then we begin to turn directions, not looking at the church anymore and the history and the rubbish that could be there. And but don't get me wrong, there are glorious things that the church has done. Bringing people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest exciting things that you could possibly do in life. And I encourage you, pray that you would be able to actually say the sinner's prayer with somebody and they accept the Lord, and that you would walk them along in their faith, and it would be a beautiful thing to take place when that happens. Now, we turn to the rubbish now, not in the church, but in our lives, and the things that could sneak in, even with godly people. We talked about it briefly, that there could be pride, unbelief, because Christians can sometimes have unbelief, but I know what we're supposed to do when we doubt. What was it that John the Baptist did when he had doubts? He called his disciples. He was in prison. And he said, go and ask Jesus if he's the one. Remember, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But now go ask him if he's the one, or are we supposed to look for another? And they did. And Jesus confirmed that he was the one. But I like what John the Baptist did. He didn't just, you know, let his mind run wild. What he did, because of his circumstances, he went to the source. He went to Jesus to find out. Too many times when people doubt, where do they go to get confirmation? To the world. You're not going to get it from the world. You need to go back to the Word of God and back to the Lord in prayer and just say, Lord, show me. I know I've shared this with you hundreds of times. When those things attack me, what do? I stop, and I don't even have to open the Bible. I just stop and I start reflecting on all the prophecies that I know and how they've been fulfilled and how they're currently being set up to be fulfilled. And the statistics in those, just Jesus himself, the Messiah, there were over 300 prophecies that were prophesied about the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled all 300. And I've shared this with you before. Take the state of Texas, fill it 2 foot deep with silver dollars, spray paint one of them, throw it out there, stir it all up, blindfold somebody, spin them around and shove them out into Texas and say, go pick that one silver dollar that's spray painted. The odds of that person picking up that from 2 foot deep of silver dollars, and they're one that's spray painted, for only 8 of those to be completed, that's what 2 foot deep of silver dollars in Texas would be if that person could pick that up. And that's only for 8 of the 300. And Jesus fulfilled all 300. You know what that does to any doubt Satan throws at me? Wipes them out. Throws them away. Because I have that assurance and that confidence that the Word of God stands. God signed it. And I don't have to doubt it. I can have all the confidence in the world in it. And those are things that you need to do. I go right back to the source. I don't go to the world. I go to the source. And sometimes the world will confirm the source. You take a look at evolution, and you take a look at, just go on YouTube after this study and look up animals defy evolution. And take a look at how God's created animals. And how that is impossible for some animals to have ever evolved. They would have killed themselves in their evolutionary process. It is impossible to have that happen. It's just an amazing thing how God has created all things. And Revelation 4:11 says, and he's created them for your pleasure as well. Amen? You betcha. And so go to those things that give you that solid foundation that you can go back to. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to be upset about anything. But those things can sneak in at times. Self-centeredness, evil desires, inappropriate sexual relationships. In other words, if you're not married in any kind of sexual relationship you have, that's wrong. That's a bad foundation. Drugs, carelessness. You know, you should care less or dry or barren or disobedient. It's all rubbish. And what are we supposed to do with this rubbish? God does not want that rubbish in our life. So what are we supposed to do with that in our lives? First of all, you need to go to the Lord and be honest. This is where we finished off last week. Be honest with the Lord. I've got this issue, Lord. I know it's rubbish. Excuse me. And I need it out of my life. So would you come in and help me get this out of my life? And it's something that if you and the Lord can't do, you know, I know the Lord can do it, but the temptation is so strong from the enemy. Get yourself loving accountability. Somebody who loves you and won't be blabbing about you, and you can call and say, hey, I've got this temptation. I just said it to somebody just the other day in private. I said, the next time you're tempted with that, I want you to call me. And we'll pray together before you go down that path, and you'll enjoy the victory. And praise God, you can make yourself that loving accountability to people as well. It's up to them whether they use it or not, but you could be one that helps prayers. But if you have something, find somebody that would be willing to do that loving accountability with you as well. So how do we get rid of the rubbish? What do we do to get rid of the rubbish? That's an important thing. The workers, what did they have to do? They had to go down and manually get rid of the stones and the weeds and all of that, get it pushed to the side, clear out the paths so that they could continue the work on the wall. What do we do? What do we do? Well, maybe there's not a lot you can do with the overall problems that are in the body of Christ. You know, you may not be able to affect some of these people that are self-centered on television, that they're out there trying to promote themselves and their books and the, all kinds of things that they're doing just to satisfy their own flesh and to grow, to use the body of Christ to rip them off of their monies. I mean, I remember stories of people. I'm praying for each one of you. And here's a cloth with my hand on it. I put in my hand on each one. Send me in $25 and I'll send you this cloth. And then you just put it on whatever part of your body that's hurting and you'll be healed in the name of Jesus because I have the anointing hand. And people are so desperate for that healing that by the thousands people would send in. And it's so sad. Just ripping people off. Just ripping them off. Now, you may not be able to do anything other than pray against that person, but the person that are hurting, you can help them by pointing them to Jesus Christ and encouraging them. You may not be able to change a church that has bad doctrine, but you can talk to somebody who has that bad doctrine and show them the Word of God and what the Word of God says about that so that they can have a solid foundation. You see, there's way too many people, even in the body of Christ, that are well-intended, but they don't have a good, solid foundation. They could be all centered on being hyper-emotional, to being dogmatic and legalistic. It could be just wrong doctrine about who Jesus is. And you could be used by God to help them. But you need to make sure that your rubbish is cleaned out, and that your foundation is solid and firm. So how do you make sure that your rubbish is found or is cleaned up? Well, the very first thing that you need to do is you need to back up the garbage truck to the doors of your heart. You need to just say, Lord, I need you to go in and clean house. And if I got any rubbish in there, let's haul it out. Let's get rid of it. I want to have a solid foundation. So I'm going to give you three prescriptions on how to fill the garbage truck up. Number one, be sure that the foundation of your life is firmly set upon the Lord. Firmly set upon the Lord. On the rock. He is our foundation, Jesus Christ. We need a solid, solid foundation if we want to be effective and enter into the battlefield, if you would, to be able to help other people. So we need to build upon the rock. You know, you talk to any engineer that is going to build a house, he's going to tell you the most important thing is to have is a solid foundation. That foundation is going to determine whether the house, no matter how beautiful it looks when you build it, it's going to determine whether it stands or whether it falls. And so it's important that we recognize that. It's important that we are able to have that foundation laid solid. And who is that foundation? We know it to be Jesus. An engineer knows it to be when they build at the beach, what do? They don't just build the house on the sand, do they? They go down and down and down and down and down until they hit bedrock. And then they bore into the bedrock. And then they come back up and use those as their foundation. If we don't have our foundation securely secured in the bedrock, and the bedrock is Jesus Christ, then the winds are going to come, the storms are going to come, they're going to annihilate us. You know, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Well, there's a lot of people that build their relationship with Jesus on the sand and not the rock. Not solid, wonderful, good doctrine. And unfortunately, there's a lot of churches that feed emotion. They make you feel good. They sound real good about repentance. But you know, it's just, you've got to make sure that that church is not your foundation, but that Jesus is your foundation. I've told you this before. Calvary Chapel is not the way, the truth, and the life. Calvary Chapel did not go onto the cross and pay for your sins. Calvary Chapel didn't raise from the dead to prove that it worked on the cross. Why? Because it would be impossible. But Calvary Chapel can point you to Jesus Christ, can point you to the foundation that you must be upon. If not, you're going to sink. And it's not fun when you find yourself sinking and you've spent all this time building a beautiful home and it sinks right into the ground and it's destroyed. If you would have taken the time and built upon the rock, you would have been much better off. So that's number one, your firm foundation. Now, we need to stop and think, number two, about who we are. Paul the Apostle makes that very clear, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said that it was imperative that he would go back to the Father so that the Father could send the Holy Spirit to be the new comforter. And then Jesus went on and elaborated and said that these are the threefold things that the Holy Spirit will do. He will be with you. He'll be around you. He'll lead you and guide you into the salvation. And once you accept Jesus, he comes inside you. So now he's with you, but he is now inside of you. And then we see over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we know that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's why when Jesus died, that Holy of Holy curtain that separated the holy place from the outer court ripped in two from top to bottom. That showed that God didn't dwell there anymore. And Paul says, you are now the Holy of Holies. You are the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells and lives within you. So it's his work to begin that building process in you. He begins it and he will finish it. He opens up your heart and he wants to pour himself into you. And now what he's done, if you can picture this word picture, he's gone into your heart, your house, if you would. He's gone down into the basement. He's got the Holy Spirit jackhammer, and he's jackhammering up that foundation of the basement, getting rid of all the inferior product that's there. And what is he doing? He's laying himself out so that you can now have that firm, solid foundation. When Paul the Apostle was talking to people who were in regards to marriage, we see that he says something very interesting to the man. And that would be over in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25. Listen to what it says. Husbands, love your wives. Now listen to this. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the world, washing of the water by the word. Listen. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So we see that God has come in and he loved us so much. He died for us. That is our foundation, so that we would be without blemish. And he's cleansed us. The blood on the cross has cleansed us from our sins if we only ask him to forgive us and to wash us clean. And so we need to let him build us up, number two. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to have that foundation laid that's solid, 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 solid. And it has to be Jesus and no other foundation. Why is that? Well, the scripture says there's no other name under heaven and earth that man shall be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. And that's our solid foundation. The third thing that we need to do is that we need to build with him. Yes, we have a part of it. The scripture says to be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. So when we're going out to do anything, we need to go out in his power. We need to go out in his strength. We need to go out in his enabling us to do things for his name. How do we do that? How do we build? Well, over in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, we see that Peter is talking to us and that we should set these as our goals. Verses 5 through 7. And this is what it says. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Now that you see, Peter is saying, God is your foundation. Now I want you to add these things to it. How do we do that? We'll see in just a moment. But these are goals that we need to be working on and praying into our lives. So once again, it says, giving all diligence. That means be sincere, give it all, focus. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Love is so very, very important. And we need to make sure that we're doing things in love. Sometimes to other people, it may not appear that we're doing things in love. But sometimes I know even for myself, I have to do things because I love the church and I need to protect the church. People may not understand what's going on, but I do it because I love the church and God has called me to protect the church. So we need to do that. We need to set these as our goals. Like I said, being a doer of the word of God for your life and the work and working together with God to bring these qualities into your life so that you will be all that God wants you to be in the battle that God has for you and the ministry that God has for you. But we need to know that we build on these things not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays. We build them day by day. Now, let me ask you, what material are you building in your life? Are you like the Christian businessman that said to me, on Sunday I'm a Christian and on Monday I'm a businessman? I would like to think that, you know, we're Christians on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, that we're Christians all the time. And that would go into our business and that we would treat people fairly. Enough said about that. So what are you building on your temple? What is it that you're building with? What are you building your house with, if you would? Is it the things that, according to the word of God, would be wood, hay, and stubble? Those are things that are, you know, the rubbish. Are we building on a solid foundation of Jesus things with rubbish? Or are we building with what the scripture tells us to build on? Gold, silver, and precious stone. And I think you would understand and you would agree with me that it's more important to build on the solid rock of Jesus with gold, silver, and precious stone. We need to build it into our lives. And as we do, guess what? Not only are we going to stand tall here, but those things that we've established here, that were done for gold, silver, and precious stone, guess what? They will stand with us for all of eternity as well. Well, where do you get that from? Well, there's a judgment that the Christians are going through. It's called the Bema, the reward seat. Bema is reward seat, judgment. Everything's going to be tested by fire. The things it says, wood, you know, hay, stubble, all that's going to burn up. But the things that remain would be gold, silver, and precious stone. And that's where we get our rewards. And they will stand with us throughout all of eternity. So the question has to come up. How do I know that I'm building the right way? How do I really know that? Well, if we continue on there in 1 Peter and take a look at verse 8, look what it says. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Oh, that's verse 5. I'll read it all the way through. I'm sorry. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And here's verse 8. For if these things are yours, the things I just read, and abound in you, in other words, are abundantly coming out of your life, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says that you are not going to be barren or unfruitful, that you're going to have a lot of fruit coming out of your life. Fruit that people can come by and just pluck from your life, those gold nuggets of life reality in Christ Jesus, that they'll be able to enjoy the sweetness and the beauty of that fresh fruit from your life that's alive. It's not wax, it's not made out of wood, but it's the real thing. I remember one Sunday morning, some of you may have been there, I went out, got an apple, and I looked real hard and found an apple that just looked okay. And then I got one of Marcy's decorative apples that shine brightly. And I said, well, I have two apples here. Which one would you really like to have? And this young man down below, he goes, I want that one, the shiny one. So I said, if I give it to you, I have to take a bite of it. And I tossed it out to him and he caught it. And he, oh, that hurt. You know, I stopped him before he did it, but and he goes, that would have hurt. And then I go, that one looked all shiny, but it was fake. Take a bite of this one. And he bit, he goes, oh, that's a good one. Well, we can have fake fruit, which a lot of people do, or we can have real fruit that other people can take and grow of, and just the fruit that'll last, and they'll draw closer to the Lord as well. So it's easy to be weary, my friends. It's easy to get tired. I can't do it anymore. I'm just too tired. The work is too hard. I just want you to remember Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. That was an excuse that Judah gave forth. But I want you to be able to stand strong. On those days that you are exhausted, those days that you think you can't move forward anymore, I'm going to read you a verse that you already know, but I hope that it'll just sweeten your heart for this night and tomorrow and the rest of your life. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, you got it, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on the wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We don't need to be tired. We need to be refreshed sometimes, but we don't need to be tired to the point we want to quit. We want to run the race and run it well, all the way to the end. So my dear friends, don't give up. Don't listen to others. You listen to Jesus, so that you can hear those amazing words that he's offering to mankind. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou in for that which I have prepared for you. I have faith in you that you are going to hear those words because you're going to be faithful to the end. And speaking of end, this is the end of my message.